Welcome back to Black Guys on White Movies, the podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Covington.
I'm co-host Amana Doomer.
And no Brandon again. Mm-hmm. This man is working hard.
He's a busy man.
I think he would have liked it. I don't know, so maybe he can chime in at some point in the future. But this week we did the movie Gattaca.
Mm-hmm.
1997 American dystopian science fiction thriller film.
Yes.
Starring Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, Jude Law. Really interesting cast.
Mm-hmm.
Blair Underwood.
It says 1997, like those names.
Yeah. Those
huge names back then. Or young, probably up and coming.
Right. They were the new kids on the block, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And boy, did they prove themselves.
Let me read the log line. A genetically inferior man assumes the identity of a superior one in order to pursue his lifelong dream of space travel. Yeah, a genetically inferior man assumes the identity of a superior one to pursue his lifelong dream of space travel.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's definitely complicated. They're dealing with so much in there. So for a log line, yeah, that answers it.
Man, I'm kind of like, yeah, that is the premise of the movie, that he is genetically inferior.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's his whole. The whole thing he has to overcome is this brand he has on himself from the society in the movie. Mm-hmm. The government society does these tests, DNA tests that determines if genetically who should be what or where you belong or what your capacity is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was deemed genetically inferior at birth.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a cusp baby. He was on the cusp of when they started being able to decide the genetics of children. So he was born without his parents having a say over his genes.
Right. Okay, so I got a little twist. I got a little twist here for the Black movie of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie was such a heavy-handed, I don't think they even meant it like this, but it was such a heavy-handed allegory for being Black,
mm-hmm.
or being an immigrant or homosexual in this country. It made me think of this movie. So it's going to be a two-header again. Hmm. It made me think of this 1986 movie called Soul Man. Have you heard of this?
No.
Comedy Central used to play it a lot, starring C. Thomas Howe. And it's a white guy who pretends to be Black to get a scholarship for like law school. So the whole movie is this white guy in blackface. It's not a great movie. It's really like kind of sketchy and sitcom-y for a movie in the 80s too. But so that really corny movie, like I'm going to read a little bit of the plot of the Soul Man movie. Mark Watson is the pampered son of a rich family. He's about to attend Harvard Law School. Unfortunately, his dad says, like, I'm not going to pay for law school. Mark decides to apply for a scholarship, but the only suitable one is for African Americans only. Mm-hmm. He decides to cheat by using tanning pills in large doses to appear as African American. And he spends half the movie in this darker skin tone. It's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And that leads me to a movie from 1970, a kind of forebearer of that kind of movie called Watermelon Man.
Oh God, I've not heard of this one.
A Watermelon Man, a white man wakes up one morning to find that his pigment has changed. He's Black. But it's hard to explain how over the top the actor plays this role. And it's meant to be like this because it's like this, it's a pretty heavy-handed satire by Melvin Van Peebles. Mm. So all I can say is go to YouTube and look up Watermelon Man and watch a couple clips. He's just so like he's super rude and always making jokes at people's expense, but it feels like it's like put on. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. And he's like yelling at people. Then he becomes black and his life just unravels. It's insane.
Oh, wow. It's a little more self-aware than the last one. Soul Man.
It's too self-aware. You know, it knows exactly what it's doing. And Soul Man has no awareness at all.
Oh, that's Aaron. And where did you, what movies were you watching? Who showed you these movies? Was it like the Jim Crow era? Like
Comedy Central used to play Soul Man quite a bit at some point in like the early or mid 90s. So I just stumbled on it. Or maybe, yeah, it was Comedy. I'm pretty sure it was Comedy Central. So go after them. And Watermelon Man is a piece of black film history from the blaxploitation era, mm-hmm. done by Melvin Van Peebles, who's a legendary black filmmaker, artist. So that was more like academic side of, you know,
right.
being a film fan. Yeah.
Right. It's funny how you could probably create a subgenre of movies of just blackface movies. Where, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Watermelon Man seems to be making fun of that, or at least satirizing this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad reality that it's like, oh yes, this is American film history. There's white dude in blackface.
Yeah. Yeah. But back to Gattaca. So let me get your early thoughts on Gattaca.
Ooh, of Gattaca?
Yeah. Your overall first impression.
Yeah. I'd never seen this movie until now. And I'd only ever heard of the movie as a kind of like inspirational story. People were telling me it was like inspirational.
Yeah. I can tell that it means to be, you know, it desires to be inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it is or not in 2022.
Right. Right.
Might be a different question.
I know. It feels a little too like realistic and horror like to be inspirational. And I didn't do any research on this filmmaker, but I did look up the filmmaker to be like, is this a white guy? And it was a white guy from, I believe, New Zealand. So that, I don't know what level of, I know they've got their own issues with race and things like that. So it was, mm-hmm. it was interesting to see this movie as reflective of America, and I couldn't help, it wasn't inspirational to me. I was just like, oh, this is real. This is just realistic.
It just felt too real.
Eugenics. It's got too much going on. But I mean, I thought it was a fun movie. It was cool.
Yeah. I think it's like written pretty well and the story told pretty well, but mm-hmm. it's also like, it's kind of hard to watch at points, especially like the first hour when they're kind of unraveling the world and mm-hmm. before like this kind of becomes a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And there were parts early where it was just like, almost like some of it really put me off on how like the lack of self-awareness it had, even for it to be 97. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so he's narrating the first part of it, how we got to this point. And he's like, when I was born, I was, you know, dealt a raw hand, basically. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, immediately I'm thinking like a black person in America, what are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just how much of like, the fantasy, what is, you know, the fantasy of this movie? And it's like,
yeah,
like it was kind of hard to really like wrap my mind around what this movie was kind of going for now.
Yes. 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 It was hard to figure that out too. I was like, is this a, Is this a great movie to show young young kids to be like, oh, okay, you think it's a fantasy world, like Animal Farm style, like, oh, you realize that there it's not about animals, it's about something deeper? Right. Or is right. it just like a, oh, what if there was a crazy future where you get to decide your genes and it's sci-fi, but one guy is working his way from the bottom like Rocky Balboa and just
completely Rocky. It's completely Rocky. Yeah. Out of our hand, you know, not that smart, you know.
Oh man, yeah. Exactly.
And he overcomes to become an astronaut of all things, which is another fantasy of like the exceptional people will be able to leave Earth. You know,
right? Yeah, another huge fantasy. Where, well, for 97 or when this came out,
right?
You but know, now, reality, baby.
Yeah, now
it's not even exceptional. It's just money. It's not exceptional people.
Well, that's whoever. What we came to find out. The ideal, the story that was told before was that like exceptional people would be chosen, and then it's just oh no, it's going to be the rich people, mm-hmm. people that can. Call in favors or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever like that.
Yeah. It's going to be a rich person, a guy who played a space person in Star Trek. And but,
right. Not. And then, so this movie was such an allegory for being black. Mm. The first words, like when he's an adult, no, before he flashes back and tells a story, it's like really early in the movie, he goes to see the doctor. And the doctor's like looking at his penis. Mm. And he's like, that's a nice one. I wish my parents had ordered one for me like that. I don't know why they didn't. You know? I'm like, what?
Yeah. The most stereotypical, like, okay, we get it. I think this is an allegory. Yeah. You're just like, oh,
it's man. Like, if y'all didn't do that on purpose, then this stuff is so deeply ingrained in the subconscious that mm-hmm. It's troubling.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, this is getting deep already.
He was like, nice. And then, so that was before he flashed back. So then he flashes back, right? And tells us how we got to that point. And I'm like, oh wait, so his penis was natural. The doctor was impressed by an all natural human grown. That doctor just loves penises.
That doctor loved penis. Yep.
And that's what did they, what else to take away from that? Ethan Hawke represented a black man in this movie. That's all I can say. And it's, and to make sure you knew it, it was a dick choke in the first 8 minutes of the movie.
100%. And in the deleted scenes, they had him shooting perfect jump shots and just, at being able to beatbox with a pencil.
He was just rapping. Yeah.
He was killing it.
You got to think like 97 stereotypes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
He was like, my name is Ethan. I'm here to say. What was his name in the, and his name in the movie? What was his name in the movie, bro? Do you remember?
Oh, man. What was his name? Oh, his fake name, right?
Right.
Sounded black.
His name was Jerome.
Jerome.
His name was Jerome, bro. I'm like, what is going on, Gattaca? Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Gattaca rhymes with Africa.
It gets worse. Every
It continues
to get worse and worse.
It goes.
And we haven't even gotten to what you hinted at. Early is the like freaky technology aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we hit on that a little bit before I get back more into just black white stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's try and describe this world a little bit. We started to, but
there's just too much to talk about. We went right into it. Let's go.
Yeah, we had to get right into like, you know, this doctor who loves male organs. Mm-hmm. So Gattaca itself is like a huge corporation that also has an aerospace arm. That's like NASA, basically. Future NASA, kind of, right?
Yeah.
More or less? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world of this time, eugenics is the norm. Like, you can even, as you try to conceive, you can manipulate your genes so that the kid doesn't have what you would call birth defects, a potential for a heart condition. They can time it out. When Ethan Hawke's character, who is named Vincent, hold on, time out, bro. Oh my God. His last name, his born last name is Freeman. Free man. Ooh. That's one of the most common black last names. His name is Vincent Freeman. Yo, they were trolling with Gattaca. Wow. They were trolling with Gattaca, man. Oh my God. Vincent Freeman became Jerome. Had the natural DNA, the natural genetics to compete with the highest level. With the best white athletes.
Yep.
He was swimming circles around them. Literally. My God, man.
Oh,
what a great pick.
That's so amazing. Vin Freeman. What Vin do you know that's not black? Oh, every Vin. God. Vin Diesel, Vin Staples, Freeman, all black.
Morgan Freeman. Oh my God.
Oh. They just replaced a few things to be like, okay, we can call this science fiction as a satire. Just make him white.
Make him all white. That's why my casting, I was like, I think you just make this movie, you just cast a black person as Ethan Hawke and leave everybody else white, and it's like a more powerful movie. But you still make it about genetics, but it's just.
Yeah.
You could make it just Ethan Hawke black, or Ethan Hawke and like one other person black, so it doesn't seem like it's
right
just about white versus black. It's not two on the nose, but you know,
you can make it multicultural.
Anyway, so Vincent, he was born natural. Mm-hmm. They called him a godchild later in, right? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
If you were born without any DNA manipulation, you were like a godchild, some term like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was born, the doctors were like, I can't remember everything, but one of them was like, chance for a heart defect. The doctor was like, 99%.
Right.
And then they said expected lifespan, 30.2 years.
Yeah.
So when you're born, they read your DNA and they determine basically what your life is going to be. And that's how people view you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his parents wouldn't let him do too much because his mom was like, is his heart beating too fast? He can't get, and he was like, yo, let me play.
He was just trying to be a normal kid like his brother.
He couldn't just be a normal kid. So when he was born, his dad's name was Anton. They were going to pass on the name, but because the dad wasn't sure what he was going to be like, he gave him the name Vincent.
Yeah.
And then a few years after Vincent, they decided to have a perfect child. So they went to see the doctor, who was played by Blair Underwood in a bald cap for some reason. And they did the gene manipulation, the gene splicing, and they had the second child was the perfect child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then Ethan's always growing up with a younger brother who his parents clearly show more affection to.
Yep.
And they love more and they expect more of. And father
gave him his name.
Yeah. Father gives the perfect kid the name Anton.
Yes.
But it's A-N-T-O-N, not like Antoine. So that's not really, it sounds like a black name, at least when I say it, Anton.
It does sound like it when you say it.
These people were all black. They were black. This was a black ass movie. We shouldn't even have done it. This is a black movie, damn near.
Gattaca is a black movie. Put it on BET. It's a black movie.
Throw it on there. Ethan Hawke just played John Brown in the movie. He's deep in the black culture.
Oh yeah, he's a He's and definitely an ally, one of us.
And he was opposite Denzel in Training Day, so he's...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And he earned his stripes.
He's a friend of the family is what I would say. I don't invite anybody to cookouts, but you can be a friend of the family.
He's a friend of the family. He's a great neighbor. He's in the area.
Man. So that's how he grows up, under the shadow of his younger brother, who's perfect. But he has this obsession with space. He always wants to go to space as a kid. It's his dream. He wants to be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. When he grows up, tired of the rejection. Well, first they do this game. So this whole movie is about swimming in a way.
Yeah.
So him and his brother, they'll swim out as far as they can and swim back. It's like a race, basically.
See who can it's get like who, the furthest.
Whoever can go the furthest mm-hmm. without turning back. That's the game they play. And one time the younger brother, the perfect one, like almost drowns. Mm-hmm. And Ethan Hawke's character, Vin Freeman, saves him. And pretty much after that point, he's like so determined to be an astronaut, to get out from under his family who underestimates him, doesn't give him a chance. Mm-hmm. To show what he can do, he become an astronaut. So the measures he has to go to, mm-hmm. and this is why it made me think of Soul Man and Watermelon Man, is he changes his identity to an acceptable, perfect person.
Yes.
He puts on perfect face.
He really does. Yeah. He buys a new identity.
So there's a perfect man who gets in an accident. This guy is a swimmer, right? The Jude Law character.
Oh, was he? I think you're probably right. He was just a good looking man in my brain.
He was a swimming star and he got paralyzed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't use his legs anymore, which meant he was able to exchange and give Vincent his identity to the point of like shaving, like giving him his fingernails. I mean, fingernails, his fingerprints.
Yep. His fingerprints.
And he would like wear his fingerprints.
Yep.
And he had to like scrub himself so he wouldn't leave any DNA, because at this point they can track any DNA they find, like a strand of hair or even dead skin.
Mm-hmm.
He has to scrub himself. He has to elongate his legs.
He takes his pee,
his blood.
The legs, yep.
Mm-hmm. Because they test him. He's like 2 inches shorter, so he spends like a bunch of months or like a year with this mm-hmm. device that supposedly stretches his legs to make him 6'1".
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. And then...
It made him taller. Oh my God.
It made him taller. Jesus. And then he was like, but wait a second. He and I look nothing alike. And they were like,
oh my God.
Oh, they were like, oh yeah, no one will be able to tell.
They said, you all look alike.
You all look alike.
God, this movie is a trip and a half.
Wow. You look alike to the people.
You all look alike. Well, it's crazy because they have these devices that will show somebody's face. Like when they get tested, the device has a picture of the person's face and if they're valid or invalid, if the DNA matches, mm-hmm. or if it matches to a perfect person or someone that's not a perfect person with it, you know, but the pictures are all like bad Nintendo looking images.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for this to be a future society, you know, when I see that now, I'm like, well, that's unrealistic because they would have had
100%
4K 3D pictures, right?
Yeah. And it was in green scale. And I'm like, man, even back then, they didn't think the future would have like iPhones in color.
Right. They couldn't have just superimposed a real picture. But that was a key part. Mm-hmm. I think just because maybe there wasn't the technology at the time, they could have put on face masks. But you get these two actors and you want to see these two actors.
You got to see their faces.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if even an early version of the idea or script was like, they do look alike, and then they were like, we're not gonna do that because we got these two young stars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna, you know. Okay. And they didn't have CGI at this level back then, so that wasn't an option.
This was face off times.
Yeah.
So this is when they were like, forget it, John Travolta and Nicolas Cage are the same.
Yeah. I think that's what was throwing me too, because in that movie, they just switched roles.
Right.
So it didn't really matter. But this one, if they switched roles, it would have really mattered. I guess they could have done it it just, what would have been the point? And Face Off, the point was that they keep running, they're enemies of each other. And that they've had a history of going at each other. And this one, it wasn't. They weren't even in.
Yeah.
They were always working together. So there wouldn't have been the same actor benefit. Yeah.
It really didn't matter. And I think the big point for the world is like, nobody's looking at your face. It's your stats, you know?
Exactly. The story, this actual story point of it. So yeah, the technology thing is scary now.
It really is. It's creepy how realistic it is, especially you hear about like, oh yeah, they're able to figure out which parts of DNA means you have this disease, and they might be able to mess around with. They arrested a guy in China for messing around with people's DNAs, like children in utero. He was like cutting it up and being like, oh, maybe we'll be able to remove AIDS and things like that from them. And then they were like, nope, we got to arrest this man. This is craziness.
Man, you do wonder though, is that inevitable? I don't know if it's 100 years from now or.
Yeah.
But if we learn how to do that, is that like just what's going to happen?
Right. It scares me, speaking from the point of view of someone who knows nothing about science. It scares me at like the butterfly effect of it.
Sure.
You cut something out. What does that mean for the whole picture?
Right. Right.
But that being said, if you are able to like get superpowers or something, I'd sign up in a heartbeat. I'd do it. It'd be dope.
Right. There's no way for us to really know the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is that simple as you just remove a thing and everything else is perfect, right?
Right. Yeah. Nothing is.
Nothing is. So, yeah, that is. So there's this great book by Octavia Butler called Octavia Butler. But it's about these basically aliens who have like a tentacle that can like basically read and restructure your DNA.
Right.
Yeah. So that's part of their interaction with humans. And the thing they become most fascinated by is the set of chromosomes that have to do with cancer for some reason, and how the cells multiply with cancer is something that they become really interested in that makes us unique to them. But at the same time, they offer humans like a better life. They're like, we can, you know, fix your DNA in a lot of ways. And it's like a natural thing. Like I said, it's a tentacle that comes out of them that interacts with like part of the human body.
Right.
So it was just, I just brought that up because that's what this DNA restructure made me think of. And this is like a black person coming up with the idea of that, you know, and using aliens and like making like a natural thing or,
right,
you know, something that's not. Because this movie and a lot of, we did, what was the other post-apocalyptic? We did Terminator 2.
Terminator 2.
But it talks about how this white vision of the future is so harsh. Like this movie was very harsh and very like, you know, at this company, everybody wears the same thing. You know, it's all straight, hard lines and no color. And and so it's interesting to read this book that's a black woman's idea of a future like with aliens that has some of the same ideas in a completely different way.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, shout out to Octavia Butler. She's a black author, right? Sci-fi author.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We need more of those. That's awesome.
We definitely need more. I can't believe I can't remember the name of this book and I'm looking it up. No, I can't. Of course, when you want it, you can't find it.
I know, right? Is it the really famous one?
No. Okay. That's Kindred, I think, is the one that's probably most famous. But this one is Lilith's Brood. Brood. Okay, I got it.
Beautiful.
Oh, I know somebody was going to be like, yo. yeah, disappointed in me if you. I couldn't remember it anyway. So I'm still
they're like, you remembered Soul Man?
Yeah.
You can't even remember.
I let the ancestors so far down.
Ooh, painful.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it's funny how those two sci-fi movies, this one and then Terminator 2. Terminator 2 is about like AI like taking over and taking away humanity and crushing humanity. And then this movie's about like humans controlling science to be able to like turn people into the perfect specimens. Yeah. So it's interesting how sci-fi is always like, or the two sci-fi movies we saw are both about like a scary distant future where we lose our sense of personality and humanity.
Yeah.
And just turn into robots, or we fight robots.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. It's twisted.
You wonder if like, well, you know, I don't know. Well, when you look at the similarities of it, right? Like it's both computer-based destruction, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point of like, that is just inevitable, basically. Mm-hmm. One way or another, it's not a matter of making bad choices. It's a matter of inevitability. And I think that's the part of it that really gets me thinking, because it doesn't seem like it's inevitable except for us, the factors that we put into it. You know, it's like Terminator is like, and if I've seen, you know, a few of the other ones, and it's like, well, if it's not Skynet, then it'll be this other company. It's going to happen. This is what AI is going to do. But it's like letting humans almost completely off the hook because this thing is going to happen.
Right.
And not just, we're not just culpable because we built computers. Mm-hmm. We're just not culpable at all. Like, oh, well, once it got to a certain technology point, it's going to do this. And even Gattaca is like, once this technology is available, it's going to be adopted, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? And this movie doesn't really like question it. It's almost like saying you should have both. You should have a world with genetically altered people and give the normies a chance to compete, because there'll be one or two exceptional people from them. And that's all fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Ooh, metaphor for societal racism, systematic racism. Yeah,
exactly.
Right there. It's like you let a few people in on that, like, well, a few of them, the system's holding back the people. Mind you, I didn't see any black people in this movie.
There were two I can remember.
Yeah.
Blair Underwood was the doctor at the beginning that his parents saw.
The hero.
And there was one when they were running treadmills near the end when he almost got caught, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was one running on the treadmills.
Okay. That's it. That's systematic racism right there.
Basically.
The few of us that get in, they don't tell you. They didn't discuss class at all, but if Vin Freeman is the black man, right? Everyone else is the white man.
Right.
Vin Freeman snuck in.
Right.
Figuring out his way to get in, right?
Right.
He got in, and everybody else somehow didn't make it. We haven't seen the impoverished areas.
Right. They didn't show outside of the Gattaca Center, really.
No, not at all. And he and that one black person on the treadmill, black person didn't turn to be like, I'm going to snitch on you because I heard your heart go secretly up. Black person kept focused and went, I'm not going to rat on another black man who's out there trying to make it into space. There are not enough of us. That's just what it is.
He probably gave him a nod. He was like, "Go ahead, man. Go ahead, bro."
Yeah. Give him the little, "Yeah, what's up?"
So what is this movie actually about? Like the story of this movie. We haven't even gotten into that. That was all just world building. The True. Story of this movie is there's a murder at Gattaca.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find the murderer. And during the investigation, this really hard-nosed detective starts questioning if somebody, well, basically just because Ethan is there as Jerome, he's left some clues behind that there's a person here that doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. It's just inevitable from him being there. And he's made connections with people, and Uma Thurman's character, she starts to realize he's not who he says he is.
Right.
And because he's just around and like his DNA is there, and you know, his card could come up invalid if his actual DNA got tested, the detective starts to wonder, whoever this invalid is, he doesn't know yet, whoever it is, probably committed the murder because he wanted to go to space. You know, I think it starts out, they find out that a janitor has made his way into Gattaca, and they're like looking for him because Ethan Hawke started out as a janitor before he underwent his transformation.
We totally forgot about that.
Oh my God. I did kind of skip. Before he went into his transformation, he was a janitor.
He was doing
this movie.
This is great. He was a janitor going like, "Man, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna
make it out one day. Watch me make it."
He was like, "Not without your mop. Keep mopping." Yeah.
Oh my God.
We forgot about the upside down sit-ups that he was doing with the science book. You remember that? He had his legs up on like a door frame or something. Uh-huh. He was the training montage of him trying to be like, "I'm a janitor, but I'm more than a janitor."
Right.
He's right. Doing sit-ups for some reason.
Oh, this movie hurts. So the murder, the detective starts picking up clues. The walls start closing in on him. The guy that's the head of Gattaca security or something gets suspicious. And as it comes to a head, they find out that somebody else killed the guy. It wasn't Ethan Hawke, but so the detective is like out of the picture after that. He's like, "I got my guy, I'm out." But the head of Gattaca security is like, understands now, get this, because he's Anton.
Oh my
God. He's the brother, and he realizes that the fake Jerome is really his brother, Vincent. That's what this movie all comes back to. Two brothers on opposite sides. They made it together. And then the climax is they do another game of swim chicken. And I think the whole idea behind this movie was this phrase. He's like, how do you do it? Because Ethan Hawke swims out so far, and his brother's like scared, and he reminds him that he had to save him one time. And Ethan says, I don't save anything for the swim back. That's my secret. Mm-hmm. And I feel like somebody had that inspirational quote in their head first.
Yeah.
And extrapolated the movie back from that. Because it is,
yes.
You can tell it is meant to be an inspirational tale that, like, even though they tell you you can't do a thing or that you're not the right person for the thing, if you work hard and you really want it, you can get it, which is what his story is. And it comes to a head, like, this is the philosophy how to do it. Just go all out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to go harder.
Yeah.
Got to go farther than they're going. Don't save anything.
Yeah.
Like, don't have a plan B. Because when you have a plan, the idea that you have a plan B, you're going to do a plan B.
Yep. You got to die for it. You got to be willing to die for it.
That's the message of this movie.
It's truly the birth of hustle culture, right? That's what it is. This movie's hustle culture.
It's like, this movie, I mean, it's a black movie. It definitely, you know, had an impact.
For sure. This movie's so black. It's crazy.
This movie's so black, it celebrates Juneteenth.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. This movie's so black. It's like, it speaks Creole. Like, that's how black this movie is.
This movie's so black, it owns a bunch of kente cloth.
Yep. This movie only watches the OWN network. That's how black this movie is.
this movie knows every episode of Queen Sugar.
Yeah. This movie loves how Queen black Sugar. This movie is. Yeah. Oh, no, that brother thing was like, you're 100% spot on. This movie was worked backwards from that quote. And that brother twist was okay. I love the movie, but that brother twist was unearned. That was crazy to have the brother work there as a security guard the whole time.
Well, I don't know if he was the security guard. That's just a title I gave him. I don't know what his job was.
It was he maybe he was like assistant detective or something, because he was under that big detective for a while.
No, he worked for Gattaca, but I don't know that he was security for Gattaca. He was like an executive or something at Gattaca.
That's crazy to not recognize your brother. Like to,
well, he didn't see him yet. Oh. until the green screen picture started going around. I think he started to piece it together, but he didn't see him.
Right.
Because they didn't know who the killer was, and he wasn't like on the floor every day with everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, even then, that was crazy. I was like, come on now. Okay.
You know why it wasn't earned, though?
Why?
Because we didn't know anything about the brother after Ethan Hawke left the family. So it didn't feel like their journeys were like on a collision course. It felt like, kind of felt like a trick, you know?
Yeah. Now, the Aaron and Amon rewrite is that brother is also up to go to space.
They got to be competing. Right?
That's what it has to be.
And he's also already dating Uma Thurman.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, something like that. That's how it would be now.
Yep. For sure.
Anton and Uma are dating. He's the head astronaut, and Ethan Hawke comes and she falls for him, or she's confused. I don't know. Basically the way The Departed played out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Oh my God. I looked up, does Uma have a black name? Her name is Irene.
Irene.
That's a black name to me. That's black enough for me. There's Irene Jerome Vincent.
I mean, just looking at these names, the ones that have names, Antonio Freeman, his mom was Marie Freeman. The doctor who helps him out is Dr. Lamar. Jude Law is Jerome Eugene Morrow.
Ooh, yeah. These are perfect black names.
Yeah.
And so it ends with Jude Law's character, not even Jude Law's character, Ethan Hawke's character, beating his brother in a race as adults, and then going to space the next day and like going back, getting tested for the last time. The test comes up, shows that he's invalid because he doesn't have any more of Jude Law's DNA to like share for the extra test.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks he's about to be caught.
Yeah.
But the dude who...
The Gattaca doctor.
The Gattaca doctor who liked looking at his penis was like, you know what? Just go on through. And he was like, you paid me more than enough.
Yeah.
You know, in the amount I got to look at your penis.
Yeah, because he didn't. It was basically that he just liked him.
Yeah.
Because they had worked together so much, but.
Yeah.
It wasn't a super, you know, I guess, yeah, just being a good guy.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like the. Now, if his brother was the guy looking at his penis, now that could change some things up.
And what was funny is after he. Jerome, the Jude Law character, who's the real swimmer who was paralyzed, lost his legs, use of his legs. He just kills himself at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess that's so like, it could never come back around. Like he was destroying the evidence basically by killing himself.
Right.
But that wasn't super.
I didn't love that. I didn't love that.
Super clear. Yeah.
Also, there was no real end between the love story of Vincent and Irene. He just kind of was like, hey, this was a nice couple of times where, you know, we had some intercourse, but I got to go to space. I can't let this stop my dream.
Basically.
That's a black story trope right there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to get to the NBA. I can't be held back.
I hate this movie now. God damn it. God damn you.
Damn movie.
Let's cast.
Let's get to it.
Let's do our best to cast. If we can. I don't know if we're going to make it through.
Oh, yeah. I got a pretty good cast here.
I'm kind of still formulating mine. I didn't make the time to also cast.
Okay. It's
been a hectic week, but I got a few ideas and we'll roll with them. I went with young, not super young, but just like young, maybe not the biggest name. So it could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I went young too. I wonder if we have any overlap. Do you want to start? Where do you want to start? You want to start with the lower characters and then work our way up to?
Yeah, up to you.
Cool. I went detective. I cast
this is the older Alan Arkin detective character.
Mm-hmm, the Alan Arkin character. And of course I had to go pod favorite Sterling K. Brown. Gotta go.
I always respect a Sterling K. casting.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Jamie Hector.
Ooh.
Yeah, from he's on Bosch. He was Marlo in The Wire.
That's Marlo. My name is my name.
You know, he's a detective on Bosch, so I feel like that transfers. And he just came to mind. I think he's a good young actor.
He's Jamie great.
Hector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So I'll just say the director of the program. I cast the director of the program, even though it's not a big character.
Oh, okay. Not the brother character.
Just the dude who's like.
That was actually played by Gore Vidal, who's a legendary author. Anyway, not even like really an actor like that, you know.
I wonder if it was inspired by any of his work. I just cast it. I was like, who are we going to put in this as the person that's like, we got to get the rockets up on time. So I went with close to the pod, Aaron Covington. We're putting in his director.
Man. I appreciate it.
I got you, man. You're in there.
I didn't cast a director, but if I were doing it now, do I put him on in there? No, don't put him on in there. This isn't tit for tat.
Hey, only if I earned it, man. Only if I earn it.
You know,
I'll audition.
We'll give you an audition.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate it.
Also of note, who I didn't cast, but like Blair Underwood is the geneticist. We mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would just bring him back. He would just be an older geneticist.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't cast, but Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah,
was the person that connected Ethan Hawke's character with Jude Law's character, so they could exchange
right
identities. So he was like, he's listed just as German.
right.
I didn't cast that, but just of note.
No, he was great.
And Gabrielle Reese was the trainer. Gabrielle, when they were like running on treadmills and stuff, she was a. She was a really huge deal as a volleyball player in the 90s. You might actually be a little younger.
Yeah, no. I know her as the as I know her and her husband. I've heard them on like podcasts and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. They got a little athletic podcast, yeah.
Yeah, Laird Hamilton. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Cool. So just to note those and then
great. You want to go Jude Law? Or I mean the brother. No. You want to do the brother?
Did you do the doctor?
The doctor? No, I didn't do the doctor, but I'll think of one if you got one.
For the doctor, I wanted to go with what's this guy's name? Michael Ealy.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Not that he reminds me of that doctor. Maybe he seems like a doctor to me.
Yeah, definitely.
We haven't cast him a lot. This is like a small role, but like important to the movie. You know, we can get him for just a couple of days.
Yeah.
Add some shine to the movie a little bit.
No, for sure. If that's the case, just a couple of days, we'll get him as like a favor. No, just black movie all-star. I'm going to go Lorenz Tate.
That'd be nice. All right, let's get to the main. No. Before we do Jude Law.
Okay.
Did you do the brother?
I did, yeah.
All right, who you got for the brother?
Okay. I picked younger actors. I went with Luca Sabbat, the actor that's in Grown-ish. He's got like the dreads and yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
He would actually work with my main two casts too.
Oh really? Oh, we might have similar ones then.
But I went with just Jaden Smith.
Of course. King Jaden.
Yeah.
Put him in.
Okay. Now did you do Uma Uma Thurman?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did Uma.
Who you got for Uma?
So I was on a Grown-ish kick. And for Uma, nice. I went Yara Shahidi or Shahid.
Pod favorite, really, at this point.
Truly, truly.
I went with Logan Browning, last seen on Dear White People, I believe.
Okay, yep. Put her in. She's great.
And then put, yeah, guys actually look like you could be related almost.
Yeah.
I got her picture next to the thing. I'm like, you could almost be. She could be at your family reunion. And then for Jude Law, who you got?
For Jude Law, again, Grown-ish kick, I went with Trevor Jackson.
Nice.
I want to see him be like pissed that he got a silver medal instead of a gold medal.
I went with RJ Walker.
Ooh, RJ.
Yeah, you know RJ.
Yeah, that's the homie.
He was in Atlanta in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Real talented young actor.
He's great.
Oh, he was in that Boomerang show also. So he's up to a lot of things.
Some super physical work, like jumping out the wheelchair and like climbing up those stairs.
Oh, yeah. He's like a dancer, so he could pull it off.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And then for Ethan Hawke.
Okay, so Ethan Hawke, I went with, and I'm surprised I haven't used him yet, but... A buddy. I went with, I believe it's George Lindeberg Jr. George, and then Lindeberg Jr. He's been in Bumblebee. He's been in Netflix movies.
George Lindeberg Jr.?
Yeah, Lindeberg. Lindeborg.
Yeah, it took me to the wrong.
Did you find someone else?
Oh, I found out about the Lindbergh kidnapping of the 1930s.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully that's not him.
Oh, George Lindbergh. Okay. I see him. Bumblebee. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. New Netflix thing, Night Teeth. Cool dude.
Yeah, I don't know him yet, but look forward to seeing more from him. In the future. It looks like he's in some Miles Morales project. Great. I went with Algie Smith.
Algie Smith?
Yeah. He was in Detroit, that movie about that riot in Detroit. He was in what else was he in? There's a bunch of stuff.
Oh, that's really good with RJ. They look like they could.
Right? They look like brothers.
Yeah, they do. They do. Wow, that's rare. We didn't get any of the same names. That's a good sign.
Oh yeah, he was in Euphoria season 1. Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
Judas and the Black Messiah movie. Like I said, and the Bobby Brown story in the New Edition movie. He was in both of those. So, you know, he's out here doing his thing.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Because Ethan and Jude were kind of like supposed to look close alike, even though Ethan and his brother weren't, but that's because his genetics were so manipulated. why it wasn't important that they look so much alike, but they look kind of alike.
Right.
But Ethan and Jude were supposed to be like, look enough alike that that picture could fool you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And for our movie, it's going to be so over the head. It's going to be like, it's all good. Black people look all the same. That's what the world's going to think.
It would be interesting to watch this movie and think about it if the cast is all black and what mm-hmm. metaphor they're saying, what metaphor is really saying then.
Mm-hmm. That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this movie was definitely a trip. The blackest movie we've done somehow.
The whitest, blackest movie we've ever seen.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was fun.
Definitely.
We'll check in with Brandon and see what he thought offline, maybe. Yeah. Maybe when he comes back, we'll just ask him if he watched Gattaca and have a good laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe he'll add a little addendum to it.
Right. But that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Like, subscribe, share.
Mm-hmm. Until next time.
Later.
Peace.